Hi, everybody. I'm Jeff Sangpeel, CTO of Keycode Media. Thanks for joining us to talk about the new wonders in live production. Let's meet our panelists. Could each of you briefly introduce yourself and share the type of production work or systems building you primarily engage in, starting with our own host here from Fremont Studios?
Hello, I'm Scott. I designed, built, and came up with this idea of the building you're in, and with about 30 years of background before. And
40 now.
40. Yeah, that's it.
You weren't a Matthew Misha.
That's about it. Ask questions, but move on.
Good. Mark.
I'm Mark Siegel. I'm with Keycode Media ABS. ABS a number of years ago. It's 5 years ago yesterday, was acquired by Keycode Media, based out of Burbank. And I'm just one of those sales guys. I'm hunting for your money or your company or the organization that you work for, buddy. No, I'm a solutions guy. So I'm vice president of business development for Keycode. And we're always out looking for technology to help support your mission.
And Galen.
And we sell it to Galen and sell it to Scott.
There you go. Yeah.
We should talk afterwards for sure. I'm Galen. I'm with Big Rock Productions. We are a boutique production agency. So my role with the company is really, I'm glad to hear because I was worried I was going to be maybe the least technical on the panel, but hopefully we'll fight for that title. I'm definitely on the sales side of things. So it'll be interesting to jump into this conversation.
Perfect. All right. Let's get into recent projects and challenges. Let's discuss a recent unique show or project you've worked on. Highlight the challenges you and your crew faced during its production or implementation, and how you worked through and overcame those challenges. Scott, let's start with you.
Time? Just takes time to do a show, and you got to have enough time to do it. And no, this is a machine, so we don't have any challenges. I mean, I'm serious.
It all works out perfect?
Yeah.
Well, then you've got an infrastructure built to deal with the challenges already. Because the other thing is, I've never been shot by a Varicam before, which is pretty cool.
Right.
That's why I wore the bright red for checking the color fidelity.
Probably looks pretty good.
You could talk about something that you have here that's very unique, about your multicam cine-style shooting, I think.
We have a multi-camera system that travels. It's built to go coast to coast. It's powered by 8 Varicam cameras, but really about today, it's powered by 8 Fujinon lenses that package in about any type of building you'd get into theater-wise. So it's kind of more about the lenses today than it really is about the cameras. The cameras are all, everything's going bigger chip. We're a Super 35 multi-camera, but again, the cool part of that is the glass you put on the front of it.
So it's all about the glass, and are you getting a wider color gamut out of that? It's not restricted.
Of course, that comes with the chip. Lenses go along with it. That's all a given.
Yeah, and that's the first time I've heard of folks doing that with a Panasonic system. So,
well, the Panasonic had the right timing when it first came out. They were the first on the block to make a true multi-camera cinema package. Cine Live is the term they came up with. And just actually this year at NAB, there are two more competitors that are probably the next level after that. They still, in the multi-camera package, they don't really deliver anything different to the customer directly. You don't sit at home and go, that's this, or this. They all deliver a great package. Again, it's about the glass you hang on the front end of it.
Definitely. Mark, recent projects.
I just want to say, yes, it's the glass, but sometimes it's also the person that's operating that device. A shout out to Mike Jensen at Jensen Jibs. He decided to bring, he's probably the best jib operator in the Pacific Northwest. If anybody needs a jib, call Mike Jensen. Plug, selfish. But thanks for being here, Mike. Projects. There will be a presentation a little bit later today. We see a lot of transition in production into the 2110. People go like, what's 2110? 2110. It's video over IP. There's a couple of video IP standards out there. Everybody's heard about NDI. There's also a new one by Audinate. video over IP.
Dante Video.
Dante Video. But in the broadcast space, in the production space, we see a huge movement towards IP. Now, you got to remember all cameras, everything, all microphones, it's all analog. It's all analog. It's processed, converted into digital, and it's just a transport mechanism and way of getting around facilities and using off-the-shelf COTS technology. So we're involved in a couple of projects, the Key Code rebuilding of Greenfield television facilities and studios that are using that type of technology. And we can't forget audio. Obviously, Atmos audio is a big thing that we're involved in these days.
And also, as I understand it, the big push for that 12110 station in a little east of here is happening next week. I was just chatting with some of the folks on the floor about it.
Are we talking about Denver?
You're talking about Denver.
Denver 7.
Galen, recent project that has presented some challenges for the team.
Well, with so many cameras in the room, I won't name names or specific projects, maybe, but I could say tech giants in the area that I think we're all familiar with and work with regularly. I think one of the challenges we see a lot is when our client has a solution that they develop in-house that's typically consumer-facing that they want to integrate into the video system, so broadcast solutions or tools, devices, et cetera, and that's certainly a challenge we see pretty regularly, but it's always a fun game of how can I use that tool for the best product. I think one of the things I'm sure we'll talk about is also the expectations of clients and consumers as far as video quality and things like that have certainly changed over the last 5 or 6 years as far as, you know, remote speakers, bringing folks in, you know, folks are happy with a choppy, glitchy video sometimes. That's good enough. They're across the world. It works. And that's not where we live, right? That's not what we sell. So I think that's one of the biggest challenges we see a lot is consumer products trying to be forced into the broadcast space.
Very cool. So significant trends in live production. What are you observing on the tech side of the live production industry? And could you elaborate on a recent technological advancement that's been beneficial to projects or things you've been working on? Scott, we'll kick off with you.
Well, it goes back to we're in a new era of, it's not really that new, but the era of larger chips, better glass. So every project, since COVID, middle of COVID, people have sat around and the new companies are now delivering new products that were just hitting the street. Getting away from in my career, getting away from the previous in multi-camera, getting away from the B4 mount type lens market, getting into the cinema market that's live broadcast. And again, because this facility is built as a machine that any producer comes into, any director comes into, any customer comes into, we don't produce. We are the house builder to the architect. So having the larger chips allows the versatility and the cameras having variable frame rates. I mean, all the stuff that goes with single camera production now is done in live production. And there's a bunch of really cool things that those cameras and the new cameras that do this can bring to a live event that's pretty cool. We can go from, like now we're shooting at 5994, and if we had a band right over there, we could push a button and all of a sudden now we're at live time shooting at 24 frame with a completely different color. All of that can be done within a show at live time. We did a show last week where it was it was a tearjerker opening, and we started it with a national musician, and we did it all in letterbox, black and white. And then we went right out of that at 24 frame. We went right out of that to a live host on the stage at 60 frame, 15.4, and full color. And then later in the show, we switched to 30 frame for another musical act back into letterbox. So we can do all that with... We have 8 cameras. We never use 8 cameras in this building, except for game shows, over the shoulder. But being able, the versatility of taking cinema cameras today, putting them in a live environment and sports world, I shouldn't have said that because it really, nobody appreciates the creativity that they have in that world. But taking that cinema world, taking it into a live environment and being able to go from what you would normally do in post-production at real time.
Yeah,
spur of the moment, shoot from the hip, and you deliver the product. And that's global transmission.
And I know a lot of the Field of Dreams stuff that Fox has been doing, they've been shooting that cinema style. And having come up from post, thank you for not telling me to fix it in post. Just nailing it right out of the gate. Mark, what are you seeing out there?
Advances in technology. I mean, obviously, the cost of that technology is coming down for a lot of people.
I mean, you've got certain vendors. You've got Blackmagic. You've got Panasonic. You've got JVC, all these people that are, you can get a large format sensor camera for, sub $4,000 these days. It's a really decent camera, actually, for some of us that don't feel that they need to spend much more, right? Or don't have the budget to spend much more. PTZ cameras, a lot of development in PTZ camera area with auto tracking, some facial recognition tracking. That's pretty cool stuff. We find PTZ is getting more and more into the production space. I think another area, go ahead.
We're in the desktop publishing era.
That's correct. Yep.
Of cameras.
Yep. You don't need as many people. I mean, there's no excuse for not having a body behind a camera. Especially if there's movement in the frame. If there isn't movement in the frame, that's fine. But that leading edge and that nuance of a camera operator is still very important. It's all about the details, right? I think something that's come about is, a point that was brought up, being able to bring social platforms into the video environment, bringing, Zoom and Teams and WebEx and all these things into your production, and having remote participants and all that is a really big deal these days, and outputting into those environments. There's some pretty creative tools out there to help you to do that. Look at VizRT NewTek, look at QuickLink. There's a bunch of manufacturers that we represent that are allowing us to integrate those technologies more seamlessly, right? I think that's a pretty good trend. Jeff will probably speak more towards, the post-production and how do we gather these technologies in an efficient way so that they can be edited and produced. I mean, up here, we're not doing a lot of LA-type work. We're not a community that does episodic television, reality television, or anything up here in the Pacific Northwest. If I look in the audience here, I think the majority of the people are not in that space. Most of the people are in the corporate government and or house of worship, if I look around. But multicam is still the thing. If you can afford to do the multicam, single cam, you just got to plan a little bit better.
Galen.
I mean, I get the benefit of piggybacking off of what you said. Being on the production side of things, like you said, Scott, you guys have a machine here that is such a great facility, and appreciate the host hosting us today.
I should really call it more. We have a big toolbox.
There you go.
Versus.
He's a construction company. He's always said that. That's all he does is construction. Just builds it. He's got all the tools.
I think to echo what you're saying, though, our clients are asking for, how do we get to that city look, right? How do we do that? And then how do we do it affordably? So combining kind of the two things that you're mentioning. The tail end of that is when your client says, I want to shoot it like this on this, data cleanup afterwards, right? Why 18K? You don't need it. Why, it's just unnecessary. Now, it may look great. And if depending on what you're doing, if you are in LA, maybe it makes sense. But for a lot of our clients,
18. It's just a bigger picture to take a smaller shot out of.
Correct.
In global transmission of multi-camera, it's still 3G. It's all, but the chip and all that other stuff, magic that goes, squeezes it down, garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
So right. All that, it's simple as that.
Yep. And then just to echo what you were saying, Mark, is just you know, making sure you're convincing your clients that really ultimately we can talk technology all day long, but the people behind it really is what sells it. You know, when it comes to movement in cameras, I still have yet to see someone who can automate, you know, a jib and what that sells and really the value behind that. So we'll continue to push those solutions.
Very cool. IP video standards. Dante AV was mentioned, NDI 2110. What insights have you gained regarding integration of video over IP and any challenges you've seen in transitioning from SDI to IP?
You want me to
go ahead?
You're a baseband, you're fiber and he's HD. He's a copper fiber guy. He's in IP at a certain point, but
then answer the question.
Well, we're full Dante for this on the sound side.
Uh-huh.
We're full Dante, but backbone. And there's some cool video over Dante that we're just shopping today. But the backbone as far as the IP stuff,
It's already here.
It's already here, or there's latency issues, or you use it when you can't. It's just another part of the toolbox.
And you need bigger bandwidth switches. you need your 10 gig ports all over the place to be able to do this. This is just a transition in transmission of signals. The greenfield facilities that we're building today, a lot of them are 2110. These are IP going through COTS switches. These are network switches. Right? It ain't easy. I'm going to tell you, it ain't easy. You got to have timing in the IP world is tricky. You're running your blue and your green. Blue and your red. Blue and your green. That's what happens half the time.
Are you still doing RGB?
No, it's not RGB. It's See, it gets back to the same thing.
It always gets back to the same
thing. It's red and blue networks. Having the redundancy, having the timing, you got to have the right tools. We have a lot of tools out here to show you how to deal with the IP stream. But once you get those systems set up, there's a tremendous amount of flexibility, movability in those systems. It's like saying, well, if we put a big router at our plant, we've got lots of flexibility and we've got lots of movability, but it's in an IP space. It's still just moving around the same video and audio signals. It's just a different way of moving them around.
Well, and sync is a huge thing. It used to be, hey, we've got burst. It was, hey, we've got tri-level, various levels of various flavors of tri-level. And now it's, we've got to have PTP. And, where's the PTP master? Where's the backup? All this sort of stuff. It adds the complexity. And I would say that one of the interesting things that I've seen recently is the Blackmagic IP switcher. Looks like a router control panel on the front. Makes sense to everybody who's used a router control panel. On the back, it's just RJ45 connectors. It's all IP2110. Galen, what are you seeing?
Yeah, from our side, you kind of nailed it, Mark. As far as bandwidth and infrastructure upgrades, right, everything getting to Gen 10G, needing to upgrade, every hose, every switch, et cetera. From our world, we so rarely own or control the venue itself, right, Scott? So as far as the infrastructure being built in, we're typically going into a space chosen, by our clients. And a lot of times for us, what we see is, there's two sides of the fence. I've got a 10,000 person conference that I need a building big enough to house. You're going into a convention space or a large venue that can house that. Sometimes that infrastructure is there for us to start playing with transmission in and out of the building at those speeds, but then cost always comes into play there when you don't own the infrastructure. Then you have a lot of our clients are looking for smaller boutique spaces, right? I really have a CEO summit for 100 CEOs. It's high touch, but low, butts and seats. That tends to be in smaller boutique venues who then haven't invested in that infrastructure. So for us, a lot of that is our systems may be able to rely on NDI, but when it comes to getting it to and from, we're really not able to lean on that a ton. So I think there's, give a couple more years, and I think we'll start to see venues upgrade some of those systems.
Well, one of the places that is beginning to upgrade are mobile. So fly packs, trucks, vans, because it's simple weight. Fiber weighs a heck of a lot less than their equivalent copper to get the same signals from place to place. Your Dante, Dante for audio, one RJ45 cable can do the work of an entire, 300 channel snake.
It's insane.
So that's the cool stuff. So it in the whole future looking stuff, cloud-based solutions for live production, they're beginning to gain some traction. Some vendors who are here today, like VizRT and Grass and Ross, are offering cloud-based video switchers and graphics. Have any of you begun using cloud solutions in your live production environments, and what are your experiences so far? And I'm going to switch it up and have Galen run first on this one.
Sure. Well, I have a pretty easy answer. We're tiptoeing, honestly. You know, watching a lot of our, you know, Ross and, you know, a couple of the other vendors whom we already own hardware for is, you know, trying to convince us why should we switch? What are the benefits? You know, we're a very hardware-first company. That's where we've been historically. So watching solutions go to the cloud, I think we can always find a use case, but already owning a lot of it, transitioning is interesting. So I'm going to definitely stop by, love to have a conversation and see maybe where that ROI is for us. I mean, the other side of that is also subscription, right? The difference is between owning the hardware, you know, having that warranty plan, et cetera, versus that monthly buy-in. You don't walk away with hardware. So that's kind of where we are. I would say we're tiptoeing, so I'd love to be convinced.
Mark?
I think that's a good way to approach it. Production in the cloud, it's interesting. Since I sell technology, I'm going to say it's the best thing ever, right? It's the best thing ever.
New frontier.
Yes. Why don't you try it? I think that's what we have to see. Use case is really it. It really has to be put out there. You got to understand why this is coming up. It's coming up because the manufacturers are all, a lot of them, I'm going to say it, a lot of them are held by holding companies, and they like this reoccurring revenue model, to be honest with you. They charge you as you use versus a capital hit all at once. I think it's good to find out what's there, what is available, how it can work for you. We'll wait and see. It's fresh and young, but I'm going to tell you, you don't see a wireless mic here, do you? It's going to work, right? It's going to work. It could have been, but, you know, go back to basic principles. If it's plugged in and you can touch it, that's good. But we'll see. If the business models are there to, you know, it's happening on the very high end, ESPN and stuff, you know, they're deploying cameras and a couple audio mics, and they send back, and we have a couple of those vendors in the other room, send back all those signals, and those are switched to the central location. From an economic standpoint, that works. That's kind of a hybrid, if you will. So I think there's room for hybrid, but go look at the technology, give your feedback. That's one of the reasons that you're here, is to look and see and comment, and we'll see where it goes.
Scott, anything cloudy for you?
It's project driven.
So one of the things is I have a idle switched environment sitting in an AWS data center. It's at full idle. We have not... We're not spinning it up. We don't have anybody to have use it right now. It's available, but it's just simply sitting there. Because the other thing you touched on in the previous question, Mark, which we didn't touch on this, is timing. So multiple sources going to a cloud presents a challenge for timing between all of those sources, not to mention the fact bandwidth. So if you can't get all the sources you need into your data center, that's going to be a little bit of a pinch when you discover that it's there. Basically, it's the equivalent of, well, somebody kicked the connector out of the BNC, and it's just simply offline. It's connected to the wall. You're right. It's always going to be there.
I feel like the ability to also, you know, in our world, it's the immediacy of fix, right? You know, the second you have to look your client in the eyes and go, it's not in our building. It's not under our control. Whether that's bandwidth locally goes down. Of course, there are, you know, you can always buy solutions when it comes to direct connections and things like that. There are fiber solutions out there. But in the end, when I have to look a client in the eyes and say, the box isn't here, I only have so much control, it's somewhere in Nevada, it's just egg on my face. So that's why we've tiptoed.
Yeah, I blame Nevada all the time.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's Vegas' fault.
There you go.
Works out. So Remy, and dealing with remote guests, bringing those remote guests into the studio or capturing impossible camera angles remotely has become common. Can you share a story of experiencing integrating remote feeds into a production or a build that you've worked on? Additionally, do you have any advice for folks who are looking at remote solutions? Scott, we'll start with you.
I'll start with somebody else because I got too many. I got to weed them out.
Mark, what do you think?
Yes. Remy, yes. No. Remy really came about because of the pandemic. That's when it really hit hard. We had the people like LiveU, TVU, DeGero, these people jump into it. QuickLink, who is in the other room as well, jumped into it pretty heavy. A lot of people did because there were nobody in studios. We did a pretty major show at Key Code. It started with an E, Ellen. It started with an E. We switched that entire show for 8 months. They shut down the Paramount lot. They had to do the show, and we put out 8 LiveU backpacks and other technologies, and we switched it in our studio in Burbank. We did that show. So that's a Remy workflow, right? It's the only way we could do it. You weren't allowed on the studio lot. And she was at home, and we had 4 backpacks at her house with 4 cameras plugged into it. Now you can do that with 1 backpack, by the way, in HD. But there are ways to do that. On campus technologies for universities and schools and stuff like that, where you can have an on-prem network, is a really cool idea. As a university, you have baseball, swimming, football, all that stuff at all the various venues. I mean, I've done a high school up the hill, Mount Si High, that's got obviously the football field, the baseball field. They've got their stadium. Those are all networked via IP into a single control room, and they can cover sports for their entire school out of one room. So it does make sense. It's all application-based. There are a lot of cool technologies out there to do that. And if that's what you got to do, there are tools to assist in doing that. Does that make sense? We're going to open this up for questions in a little bit. You can ask all that stuff.
Galen.
Yeah, I think for us, it comes down to scale, budgets, et cetera, what the solutions are going to be. I think best case scenario that you kind of just described is we're able to deploy solutions, our hardware, and hopefully our people on the other end, right? Build the infrastructure necessary and really own both ends. Yes, there's a long hose, we'll call it the internet in between. But ultimately, you know, that's best case scenario. But this is where we start to see a lot of times where our clients have their own solutions that eke in, right? That are taking over some of those broadcast solutions. This is where Teams and Zoom and other products sneak in. I think the reality of bringing in remote speakers and remote feeds is here to stay. Unless our client draws a real hard line that says the incentive of this event is to have butts in seats and have everyone here, I want closed doors. Unless that's the hard line, we pretty much expect that we're going to have someone who's in Sydney who's not going to make it for the event, whether that's determined, you know, in the pre-production process or is a curveball that you're catching a week before, days before the project. So-and-so can't make it, certainly with health concerns, et cetera. So I think that reality obviously is here to stay. The solutions, I think, you know, for us, it's trying to get out of those consumer solutions and sell our clients on the best possible video feed control, et cetera. So, Mark, I think the world you're describing is really the ideal, but typically when it comes to dollars, we're not in the ideal, so.
Definitely, and it's always horrible when you're faced with the, well, I can do it with this thing I found on the internet.
Correct. Right. Exactly. Or it's my thing that my team designed. I need you to use this. But I mean, the days of we're still in the you get in, you know, 10 minutes before you're hit. You're asking, adjust your camera, turn on these lights. I can't quite hear you. Can you turn off the fan? Those sort of things when you don't control the environment, you know. But this also goes back to the expectations shifting slightly. A lot of people are just fine with that. I think it's our job to continue to defend a higher bar and ask more of ourselves, our clients, the product. But that's not always there. Some people are totally fine with the, yeah, this is on your iPhone.
Oh, look, 360p. Wonderful.
Yeah,
exactly. Scott, any thoughts on this?
It's client-driven, budget-driven. There's a lot of technology methods to do that. And I've got a lot of options that's not worth getting into, but it's client-driven.
Definitely, but the toolbox is there to
yeah, there's lots of tools. Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Agreed.
Right? Go back to safe, go back to what you know, but learn more. It's about comfort using the technology as well. So dive into it. Don't be afraid of it. We're talking about Remy and other IP-based technologies. Don't be afraid because, you know, I'm going to tell you, soon these manufacturers are going to only have RJ45 ports coming out of the back of their base stations and plug it into their switchers. I'm telling you, it's within the next 10 years.
Maybe some fiber.
It'll
all be networked.
It's really trending that way. But I like the way a BNC connector clicks on, or a SMPTE fiber connector, a Tri-X connector kind of hits it. It's kind of built for it versus this little plastic thing that's built in a, I won't get into it.
In a rubber boot. All right. So let's finish this off with the other parts that we haven't talked about. Tech trends in things you're seeing for things like lighting, intercom, microphones.
Well, it's hard because I think one of the biggest trends I get to see is all of that being digitized, right? All of that going over IP control, communications, et cetera. Other trends. I mean, in our space, you know, we're always solutioning things. What's the best product for those of you that chose to join us? And what's the best product for those at home, right? And that's not always the same thing, especially when you're talking, I mean, cameras, obviously, we're used to covering things, live events in the ways we do, and we certainly can provide an incredible product. But for us in spaces like playing with LED walls that have, you know, the multiple frames that allow us to shoot the best possible product for those at home, a digital environment, maybe, you know, some extended scenic, you know, just fun play for the audience at home. But it doesn't make sense for those of you here because we can only track to one camera at a time, right? So some of those solutions, Sony's coming out with some great technology that allows us to really play and give the best product for both sides. And I think that's what I'm most excited for.
That's one cool thing I'd seen. Grass Valley has it's a controller that allows the video wall behind you to be seen by multiple cameras. So what you see as a human is just a blur. Yep. But what's happening is it's cycling through, you know, say you got four cameras, it's cycling through four different images, and each of those cameras is actually hitting on that image. So it sees what it thinks it's supposed to see. Everything's in sync, but the background is different for every camera because, you know, they're at different angles.
Yeah, I think that's a great, you know, that's an awesome solution if, you know, if you're putting it in the can or you're streaming it a lot. For us, it's solutioning the live experience. So again, the audience sees one thing that just makes sense to multiple viewpoints throughout the room, but we can control what the camera sees. So it's pretty cool.
We're touching on another thing we didn't talk about, you know, a big push in technology for, you know, LED screens or walls behind people.
Yep.
Pretty interesting thing, huh? You can't just put any camera, any lens, anything in front of a video wall. You'll get moiré, you'll get tearing. There's a lot of stuff to that, right? There's distance, there's lensing, there's lighting, you know. You don't want to light it wrong. Lighting, we don't talk too much technically about lighting. Lighting, there's a huge shift in lighting towards IP in certain environments. IP-based lighting controls. I mean, then you don't have to, you know, we use DMX.
DMX.
Thank you. I remembered it. DMX. We use DMX now. I mean, Scott's got 700 fixtures in this facility. All DMX. You go like 700 fixtures? Yeah, he's got a lot of fixtures.
This is all old.
It's all old. Well, it's not. It's LED.
Well, there's less power.
Okay.
So. Well, the other thing also out there is lighting powered by Ethernet.
Yes.
PoE++. Powered lighting.
And that's going to be a new trend. That's trends now in, I would say, conference rooms, huddle rooms, smaller studios, larger studios are still using, you know, LED-based fixtures. But I'm sure there's lots of improvements in that technology coming. But once again, we're going back to the basic principles that we've learned for the last 70 years. You know, light it, put a good lens on it, shoot it, record it. Go on from there. Edit it. That's what we do.
Well, a big thing in lighting today is the cameras are so much faster.
So you use a lot less light. And everybody, that saves budget. And everybody wants it to look like it looks in your eye, and we can do that. So the lighting technology of, I mean, I've got, the company has at the other end of the building, we can light football stadiums. Do we do that anymore? No. It just doesn't happen. Because you don't have to. These cameras, we could be doing this with candlelight.
That'd be romantic.
It would. Old cameras, that, you know, the standard, not old cameras, the standard of video is 800 ISO. And there's, these cameras have a 800 and a 5,000 ISO base. So in here, these, we run all these cameras at 5,000, but they can take, I can take them amplified. Take, you start at 5,000 and you go 12,000, 18, 20, 24, you just keep going. These cameras, and Sony's doing it and Arri's doing it. None of them do 5,000. They're all trying to, they've gotten to 3 and there's competitors, but and then you add the glass to that, how fast is the glass? But that's all the magic of that formula, but lighting, you just don't, I mean, this is way overlit right now. Just
everybody's going like, what are you talking about? It's way overlit.
It is.
Looks my camera is wide open at this light. Well,
this,
see it.
Right. But we, these cameras, we never turn them. They're inside. If you're inside a building, these cameras run at 5,000. If we take them outside, they run at 64. I mean, but I'm being facetious there, but then we bump them down to the 800, and then we dive that down farther because the glass is so fast.
Yep.
So it's the magic of that. And so lighting equipment has gotten, you just do so much with so little. So
Scott always, you know, Scott's a shader as well. He doesn't shade with the CCU.
That's an old term.
What?
Shading is a very old term.
Well, but that's what most people call, what do you call it now? Painting? He's an artist, okay? He's a painter. He does it with light. He does it with control of the light in the room, not controlling the camera.
And the other thing also is we don't have to worry about running a heck of a lot of air conditioning, because the air in here is just for us humans generating heat, not for these lights. So that's something that works out really well, lowers the overall cost of your facility. But speaking of cost of facilities, there's always a cost in time, and we're out of it. So, gentlemen, thank you for joining me today.
Was there questions? Any off-the-top questions before you...
Any quick questions?
We're out of time. He throws to Q&A.
Well, we're around. Grab us.
Oh, and also, if anybody cares, the cameras I've been talking about, the other end of the building, is, you can walk down there, and the mobile unit is down there. Walk through it. It's pretty cool to look at. It's the biggest mobile unit you've ever seen in the smallest box. Horsepower-wise, it's phenomenal, and it was made to fit in Seattle street alleys. So go check it out. It's pretty cool.
Very cool. And ask about what's in the belly of it.
It's a Tesla. It runs on batteries.
Nice.
Awesome. Thank you, gentlemen. Enjoy the rest of the show, everybody.
Thanks for watching Broadcast to Post. Please make sure to subscribe to the podcast to receive future episodes. Follow Key Code Media on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram to receive news on additional AV, broadcast, and post-production technology content. See you next time, folks.